Okay, back to us. It's Hashem, 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 to put up shuls. I know Rapunzel is the least interested in having a fancy building. He's interested in Kaddish and Shemayim. We should all be zeichet that in this Hashem.
Amen.
Okay. So if you remember yesterday, we were actually mamish in the middle of a question of Nun, Dalet, Omed, Beis. We spoke about making a hekka for a Shchedesh. What was the hekka that we discussed? That if you have to blow two sets of tkiyas, you blow Rosh Chodesh first. Even though normal rules would have dictated that Shabbos comes first. Why? Because we have the Tadir rule. Tadir v'sheinei Tadir. Tadir koidem. We want to make a hekka. Why do you want to make a hekka? Because, as Rashi explained, so that nobody should have any hesitation or doubt that this is really Rosh Chodesh. It looks rather strange. Here in Bet Shemesh, we never saw the moon. Bez Din are announcing it's Rosh Chodesh. What do you mean it's Rosh Chodesh? So that nobody should cast any aspersions on the Bez Din. We say, no, listen, we're going to blow the tkiyas. In fact, we're going to blow them first. And that will clearly demonstrate that what? That we will makadish the moon, kadast the kadin. That's what the Brisa said. So the Gemara asked a question. What do you mean to say that that's the hekka to declare clearly it's Rosh Chodesh? We seem to find elsewhere that there was a different hekka, and not this one. What was it? So remember we began explaining. It says that whenever they used to cut up the Eivarim, or what the Gemara called the Chelvei Oilas Haboike, the Tomid Shol Shachar, they had to put it on the Mizbeach. Who does that? The Kohen who's called the Ma'aleh. The Ma'aleh, the one who puts it up. But the group before that, their job was to do the Hoilocha. And we mustn't make a mistake, by the way. There's the hoilocha of the dam, and there's the hoilocha of the Eivorim. The dam needs to be transported, and the Eivorim. What is the crucial difference? The crucial difference between the two is, the dam can never be put down. Why couldn't it be put down? When you got to the Mizbeach, you didn't place it anywhere. You immediately sprinkled the blood. Why is that? So if you remember, and the Psukim and Chazal tell us, in what type of kli was the dam? Yeah, but what shape?
Like a bowl.
It came to a point at the bottom. Why did it come to a point at the bottom? Precisely is that it's a type of kli that you can never put down. It doesn't have a base. Why did they design it in that way? Because if you ever put it down, then maybe the dam would congeal. So therefore, that's actually an amazing process, because when it comes to Korban Pesach, there were thousands and thousands of people there. Moses of Karbonis, the Mishnah describes that there was, he did the Shechita here, Mizbeach was over here, there was a whole line of Kohanim, and each one would get the Kli, pass it on to the next Kohen, and stir it. Why would they stir it? So it shouldn't congeal. Okay, so you get to Mizbeach and you sprinkle it. When it comes to the Eivorim, obviously that's not relevant. So you get to Mizbeach and put it down. And then eventually the Kohen HaMa'aleh would come to Mizbeach and put it on the Mizbeach. If, for some reason, he got delayed, then we might, in theory, run into problems. What would be the problems? Because let's say the next Korban was already up and running. For example, the Korban Musaf. You'd get to Mizbeach, and the group doing the Hilach would put that down as well. Now, the Ma'aleh comes, and what does he see? He now sees two groups of Eivorim, or even worse, to be, I don't know, one big pile all mixed up. So what's the problem? Why can't he now just put it all on the Mizbeach? The answer is no. Why can't he put it all on the Mizbeach together? The Tomid has to be first. The Tomid opens the day's proceedings. The Tomid closes the day's proceedings. There's nothing before. There is nothing after. So we have to have some sort of mechanism by which we know which is the group of the Tomid Shol Shachar. What was that mechanism? You put it in a specific place. What was that? It happened to be on the lower side of the Kevesh, on the eastern point. That's what we said. So have a look at the third bottom line. The Tanya. Chel vei tomid shol shachar nitonin mechatzi kevesh olamatom. The chel vei, which literally translated means fat, but Rashi already pointed out to us that it's not necessarily the fat. So true, all the Eivorim of the tomid shol shachar, where were they placed? What does nitonin mean? like from the word noisein, to give. They were given, they were placed. Mechatzi kevesh olamato, the bottom half of the kevesh, b'mizrach. Okay. V'shel musafin, where were they put? Mechatzi kevesh olamato, b'marov, on the western side. Says Rashi, fourth bottom line, v'shel musafin, nitnu, they were given, kenegdo, what does kenegdo mean? Opposite. One was on the east, one was on the west. Kenegdo, b'ma'arovoi, shel kevesh, on the western side of the kevesh. Now, in order for this whole process to work, we're obviously assuming that the east side and the west side are not too close. Otherwise you've lost out, I mean, everything's going to get mixed up. That's why Rashi points out to us, indeed that was possible, shel kevesh, rochvoi, sheish, estrei amo. The width of the kevesh was 16 amos min ha-mizrach l'ma'arov. Va'orchoi, and its length was lamed base, 32 amos min ha-tzofoi n'dara, from north to south. Now, just to get a feel of what we're talking about, 16 amos is what? Machlokes, what an amma is, but it's at least 8 meters wide. If I tell you that this base of the Medrash from wall to wall is probably 4 or 5 meters wide, so you get an idea that the Kevesh is about twice as wide as this base of the Medrash. Well, that's very wide. So therefore, clearly, if you have one pile on the east and one pile of the west, there's no chance of them getting mixed up. They're nowhere near each other. Fine. Back into the Gemara, bottom line. Veshel Rosh Chodesh. What does that mean, Veshel Rosh Chodesh? The Musaf of the Rosh Chodesh, where was that put? Nitnin, they were given, they were placed, Tachas Karkuv HaMizbeach. Karkuv, we actually mentioned earlier on in the Mesech, that's one of the ledges around the Bezmeach, we'll see in a moment. Menach Tachas Karkuv HaMizbeach Ulamato, beneath the Karkuv of the Mizbeach. Why would they put it in that very unique place? Why can't they put that also on the west, or the east, or the south, or the north? Says the Gemara, V'omer Rabbi Yochanan, top line, Leida Shehukva Rosh Chodesh Bizmanoi. Do you know why it got special place, special prominence? The answer is, once again, in order to declare, it's a clear hacker. So what's the question? So you've told me that you've told me that the hacker is what?
Placing the Avarim.
Placing the Avarim on the special place. But before we were told the hacker is something different. The fact that we preceded the Tkiyos. So which hacker is the correct one? Is it this one or is it the other one? So Rashi, the bottom Rashi. V'shal Rosh Chodoshim, Eivarim shel Musafei Rosh Chodoshim, the limbs of the Rosh Chodesh Musaf, Nitonin Hoyu, where were they placed? The Kevesh, Somuch, the Karkoiv HaMizbeach. Close to the Karkoiv, what does that mean, close, says Rashi? Lemato Heimenu Me'at. Below it, a little bit, slightly below the Karkov. Dahainu, b'chatzi ho'elyoin shel kevesh, i.e., it was the upper part. Remember, the two korbanos that we mentioned previously were both placed on the lower part. This is the upper part that immediately gives it extra prominence. Why? So Rashi now explains. Shekol hakevesh orchoi shloishim v'shtayim, as we mentioned in the previous Rashi. The length of the entire kevesh was what? 32 amos. Ve'einoi meshapeya v'oila. It does not slope and ascend. Elo teisha amos. So what does that mean, Elotesha Amos?
It's the height.
So it means the height of the entire ramp was 9. But the length of it was 32, which is approximately a 1 in 3.5 gradient. Which means, for every 3.5 amos that you walked up the kevesh, you were actually rising, going in an upward direction of 1 amo. All 32 will take you 9. Is that true? Let's have a look. Says Rashi, Hashesh amos min ha'aretz l'soivev. 6 of those 9 would take you to the level of the Soivev, which we once discussed, which was also one of the rims, round. The Mizbeach. V'hasholosh. And the next 3 amos. Min ha-Soivev ulamalo. Remember, the height of the Mizbeach was 9 amos. The remaining 3 would complete the height of the Soivev and upwards. Nimtzu. It therefore turns out Shnei Shlishei Oirech HaKevesh, that the first 2/3 of the length of the Kevesh would take you to where? Min Ha'aretz, the Soivev. It would take you from the ground level to the Soivev level. If you walk the entire length of the Kevesh, then you'd get to the top of the Mizbeach, the height. Says, therefore, where were these Rosh Chodesh Evarim put? On the top half of the Kevesh, slightly beneath the Karakov, which was one of the rims around the Mizbeach.
It seems kind of hidden. What was it? Like the underneath?
Yeah, they're on.
On the Kevesh, yeah, below the height, slightly, of the Karakov, which is one of the perimeters of the Mizbeach.
So this is acting as a hekher.
Right, because it's higher up.
I feel like it's still such a small
hekher. You can see it's got prominence. It's got prominence. You have a few karbonos that we said before on the bottom half, and this is all of a sudden placed on the top half. Ah, Rabbi Brom has a diagram. Even on the previous page, you should have something there. No? Okay, that bottom picture?
No.
Okay, says Rashi, top Rashi. V'omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Lekach. For this reason, Sodrin, they organized Oiston Lama'alo, Mishar Eivorim. Why is it that they organized it, they placed it higher up than all other Eivorim, laharois, in order to show shehein chashuvim, that they're prominent, ulahidia, and in order to display or to inform shehukva hachodesh bizmanoi, that the chodesh was indeed hukva. What does that mean? Hukva, established, the word keva kavua. It was established bizmanoi. Nobody should have any doubts. I know you may not have necessarily seen the moon. And you're probably wondering to yourself, if that's the case, who says it's Rosh Chodesh? We're clearly going to demonstrate that indeed it is Rosh Chodesh. How so? By giving the Evarim of the Rosh Chodesh pride of place. What does that mean, pride of place? Top of the Kevesh. As opposed to Tomid Shoshacha was at the bottom. As opposed to other Musafim, which was at the bottom. But either way, we now have a Stira. Because before we were told the Heker is that the Tkiyas came first, and here we're being told that the Heker is where the Evarim of the Rosh Chodesh Korban Musaf was placed. Says the Gemara, it's no contradiction at all. Was it this one or that one? The answer is both. Shrei Hekera of Dinan. They did two Hekerim, and that's it. So you're wondering, was it the Tkiyos or was it the Evarim? The answer is they did both. Why? Trei Hakira of Dinon. De Chazi Ha'ai. Chazi. The Chazi Baha'i. Chazi. Not necessarily would you be able to see both. So those who saw this one, saw this one. And those who saw that one, saw that one. So if you happened to be in the Beis HaMikdash at the time of the Tkiyos, then you would have noticed the Heker there. And if you would have been there at the time of putting on the Mizbeach, then you'll notice the Heker there. That's what the Gemara means. The Chazi Hai. If you saw this one, Chazi, and that's what you saw. The Chazi Bahai, and if you saw that one, Chazi, then you saw something else. Except for there's no stira. No stira whatsoever. Now, let's not lose the general picture. Let's not lose the general picture. We initially quoted a daf ago the opinion of Rav Acha. What was Rav Acha's big chiddush? You have separate tkiyas for every musaf. There was musaf Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos. You have two sets of tkiyas. Now we got sidetracked with how many? You have 48 tkiyas and 51, 57. But we've come back now to Rav Acha. So question number one on Rav Acha was what? From the shir. Because it says that the shir of Rosh Chodesh is doicha, the shir of Shabbos. And we thought, what does doicha mean? Cancels completely. According to Rav Acha, very difficult to understand. Why does it cancel completely? You do both. And what was the Gemara's answer? You do both. What does doicha mean? Doicha doesn't mean cancel, it just means proceed. Why did you indeed proceed? I told it. The answer is Hekka. Was it the correct Hekka? Yes, it did both. Okay. So this stage of the game, Rav Acha, is good or no good?
It's good.
When it says that you do the shir of Rosh Chodesh, it doesn't mean you do that shir only. Rather, it means you do that shir first. Now the Gemara is going to ask another question. And we're going to see this is the knockout question. In fact, there's going to be two knockout questions. But this is the first. Meisvei Tatoni Rava Bashmuel. We have a braisa, or it was stated in the name of Rava Bashmuel. Yochai, you might have thought, Kesheim Shetoikin Al Shabbos Bifnei Atzmai. Just as you blow tkiyas when Shabbos is alone. V'al Rosh Chodesh Bifnei Atzmai. And so to Rosh Chodesh also when it's alone. When you have a regular Rosh Chodesh, which doesn't coincide with any other special day, then you have tkiyas. So I would have thought, Kach, Yiu, Toikin, Al Kol, Musaf, V'Musaf. So I would have been excused for thinking that what? That when indeed they do coincide, what should I do? That's what I do, but what would I have thought?
You blow two.
I would say you blow two. Just as Shabbos is Mechayev Tkiyas, and Rosh Chodesh is Mechayev Tkiyas, so when they happen to collide, what would I do? I would have thought we should blow double set. Kach you toikin al kol Musaf v'Musaf when they coincide. Talmud Loima. So we have a pasuk that comes to teach us that no, Ubaroshe Chodsheichem. In a minute we'll see how it is exactly that we learn from this pasuk. But this pasuk clearly is here to teach us that what? You only blow one set of tekiyas. You definitely would have been excused for thinking that I should blow two. Why? Because I've got two hats to wear today. It's my Shabbos hat, and it's my Rosh Chodesh hat. So if it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, I'm wearing two hats. I mean, I have two sets of tekiyas. Yes, you would have thought that. I have a pasuk that clearly tells me otherwise. Well, as they call it in English, game, set, and match. No? Where did they say that? Game, set, and match. Well, then it's all over. I'm a furush of braisa. That I in fact learned for a pasuk that how many do you blow? One set. Says the Gemara, Tiyufta, Rav Acha, Tiyufta. What does Tiyufta mean? Knockout, opgefricht, pircha, finished. Rav Acha is disproved. We haven't, by the way, explained where is it in the words of Ubaroshe Chodsheichem that you see you only blow one set. But for the moment, we'll just accept it. The Gemara will explain in a couple of lines. But at the moment, we'll accept it that apparently this pasuk teaches us that what? That how many sets did you blow? One set. And Rav Acha's whole chiddush was you blow two. So Rav Acha's disproven, I'm sorry to tell you. Zok Rashi on the last wide line. Sorry, on the second line from the top. Yochel k'shem shetekin. I would have thought that just as you blow al musaf shel rosh chodesh bifnei atzmoi. What does that mean, bifnei atzmoi?
For its own sake.
For its own sake, k'shechal b'chol, when it falls out of the week. When rosh chodesh falls out on a weekday, how many hats am I wearing?
One.
I've blew one set. So too, v'al musaf shabbos bifnei atzmoi. So too, I've got to go to Tkias when Musaf is on Shabbos. Kashahi Levada. When Shabbos is alone. What does that mean when it's alone?
No Rosh Chodesh.
No Rosh Chodesh. Ah, so I would have thought. Taking al kol Musaf a Musaf. Kashachalu. When they fall out. Liyois. Yachad. So I would have thought. If Rosh Chodesh is Machayev. And Shabbos is Machayev. So when they coincide, to blow twice. Talmud Loima. That's why the apostle to tell me, no sir. Uberoshe chodshechem gabit kiyos ksiv. With regard to the tkiyos, where is the parasha of the tkiyos, by the way? Parashas Bahaloyscho. In that parasha, it says, ubeyoyim simchaschem. On the day of your simcha, uba moyadeichem, when you have moyadim, and then it says uba roshei chodsheichem v'tekatem, and it says and you should blow tkiya. So the Torah is clearly here instructing you when it is that you blow. The answer is b'yom simchaschem, if you have a day of simcha, which obviously that needs to be defined, uba moyadeichem, and on yom tovim, and then it says uba roshei chodsheichem. And on Rosh Chodesh, it also gets on the list, the Tekatem, and you shall blow. Apparently, those words teach us, and in a minute we'll see how it is exactly, but apparently those words teach us that what? That when you have Shabbos coinciding with Rosh Chodesh, how many do you blow? One set. Sorry, Rav Acha is therefore disproven. Game, set, and match. There's no way you can answer it. Says the Gemara, my Talmud. What does that mean, my Talmud? You told me Talmud Loima comes to teach me. Can you please explain to me how does it teach me? Where do I see in these words of Baroshe Chodsheichem? There's only one set of tkiyos, despite the fact that there's two separate reasons to blow. There is a machlekes. Omar Abai. Omar Kro. The pasuk says, "Ubaroshei chodsheichem," quote unquote, and on your rosh chodesh, hukshu kol chadoshim kulam ze lozer. What does it mean? Hukshu. They're compared. If I say uber rosh chodesheichem, what does that mean? And on all of your rosh chodesh, you should blow. If I say that sentence, what am I doing? I'm really grouping all of the rosh chodesh in one bracket. So how does that answer the question? It says hukshu kol rosh chodeshim kulo.
What shall I do once?
Oh, if you're comparing all the rosh chodesh to each other, that's in other words, you're telling me rosh chodesh Nisan will be exactly the same as rosh chodesh Iyar, which will be exactly the same as rosh chodesh Tiva, which is exactly the same as Tammuz and Av and Elul and Tishri and Cheshvan. Every single month will be the same,
even though it falls on the Shabbos.
Even though we know inevitably sometimes it falls on Shabbos. So by virtue of the fact that the Torah has bracketed all the Rosh Chodesh in one happy family, that shows that they're all compared and there's never a distinction. So what does that clearly show me? That come what may, I couldn't care less which day of the week Rosh Chodesh falls out, even if it lands on Shabbos, it will still be the same. That's what the Gemara means. Even though I might well have thought, and I will be excused for thinking, that when Rosh Chodesh is chal b'Shabbos, I should blow twice. But if it says uba rosh chodesheichem, all the Rosh Chodesh are the same thing, so it tells me that there's never any way to distinguish. Says Rashi. Fourth narrow line. Hukshu kol hachadoshim kulam, says Rashi. Le'inyan tkiyoy. every Rosh Chodesh is the same with regard to its tkiyos. In other words, shet tkiyos say and shavos. What does shavos mean? Equal. They're always equal. That's one interpretation. There's another interpretation. Rav Ashi Amar. I'm sure you all noticed. It says Omar Abaya, but Rav Ashi Omar, because Rav Ashi is disagreeing. What does he say? He says, I learn the drosha a little bit differently. I get to the same conclusion, but through a different method.
Conclusion is that you get a blow.
The Rosh Chodesh is not like Rav Ashi. Because every Rosh Chodesh is compared to each other.
So I'm hearing that we're going to blow Rosh Chodesh, but why do you say that we're not going to blow Shabbos?
Because if you're going to blow Shabbos, then it's not fair and it's not true to say that every Rosh Chodesh is the same. Sometimes Rosh Chodesh will have one set, and sometimes Rosh Chodesh will have two because it falls out on Shabbos.
But it's just doing Rosh Chodesh. I feel like you're just setting the precedence for Rosh Chodesh.
No, again, there's two solutions of you. There's one chiddush that, you know what, you have to blow the shofar or the chatzitzrus on Rosh Chodesh. That's chiddush number one. But the fact that all the Rosh Chodeshim are grouped together is teaching me an additional chiddush. Not only do you blow the tekiyos on Rosh Chodesh, you should know that every Rosh Chodesh will always be the same. According to Rav Acha, that's simply not true. Because there'll be an occasion, inevitably by the law of averages, the Rosh Chodesh will fall out on Shabbos and they'll have a double set, but they're not the same.
Rosh Hashanah.
So, but by virtue of the fact that the Torah has bracketed all the Rosh Chodesh together, what are we being taught? Every Rosh Chodesh is one set, irrelevant of when it falls out. Says Rav Ashi, no, I got to the maskana a different way. Rav Ashi Yoma, Ksiv Chodsheichem. It says the word Chodsheichem, your month.
That opinion also would be holding a Tosos by Tavya. And it's not, Tavya can be by Chashivas, and it could knock the other one out.
No, it's the contrary. If you go with Tadir, then you only blow Shabbos to Tzki, it's not Rosh Chodesh Tzki.
No, but Tosfos is going to Tadir.
Yeah, no, Tosfos was just coming to explain the question. The Gemara asked Shaila, why don't we say Tadir? And Tosfos said that question would even have been valid as long as we thought that you're knocking out one or the other. But what's the answer to that question? The answer is the Tadir rule doesn't apply really. Why does Rosh Chodesh get a special place? We'll make a heck. So the Tadir was just a question. If you're going to blow one, don't blow Rosh Chodesh, blow Sabbath. And Tosfos says, even at the expense of the other. Okay, that's a question. It's not where we remain. When I answered that question, was Rosh Chodesh needs a heker, right? Says Rav Ashi, Ktiv Chodsheichem. It says the word Chodsheichem, which means your month. The Ktiv, and it also says Uberoshe, quote unquote. Roshe Chodsheichem. The Eze Chodesh. Which month has two heads? In other words, technically speaking, you shouldn't have said Uberoshei Chodsheichem. You know what I should have said? Uberosh Chodsheichem, the head of your month. Meaning every month has one head. If it says Roshei plural, then clearly what's being hinted to? A month that has two heads. A month that has two heads. Says the Gemara, Eizah Chodesh. Sheyesh leshnei Roshim. Which month would you say has a double head? Hava Oimer, we would say, Zeh Rosh Hashanah, it's Tishri. Why?
Not about 2 days. I'll tell you something about 1 day. So what it means, it's got two heads. It's the beginning of the month, and it's also the beginning of the year. So it's a double head. It's the start of a new month, it's the start of a new year. Okay. So but that's the month that's being referred to. Fine. And yet, V'omer Achmona Chod Sheichem Chadhi. What does that mean? Chod Sheichem Chadhi. What's strange about the word Chod Sheichem? What's strange about the word Uberoshei, as we've just said, because it's in plural. So there's a month with, as it were, a plural head. Which month is that? Tishrei. But then it says Chod Sheichem. Now what's strange about the word Chod Sheichem?
There's no yud.
Chod Sheichem plural really should have been written with a yud, like Chadoshim. The way it is spelled, Ches Dalet Shin Chof Mem, you could in theory read it as Chod Shechem, which will mean your month. What does that mean? Chad He. It's written in the singular, and that's the drosha. In other words, according to Rashi, you know what the drosha is? There's one month with a plural head, and yet it's referred to in the singular. So what's that teaching me? That despite the fact it's got two hats, why has every Rosh Hashanah got two hats? Because it's Rosh Chodesh, and it's also a Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. And yet, how many tekiyos are there? Chad, only one set. So he agrees to Abaya, which is, after all, the whole purpose of this brisa. That even when you're wearing two hats, you still blow one set. But he disagrees with Abaya. Exactly, how is it learned from the words Uberoshi Chodshechem? According to Abaya, it's learned from the words Uberoshi Chodshechem because all the Chadoshim are grouped together to tell me that every Rosh Chodesh is the same, always one set. According to Rashi, it's different. It's because it's written Uberoshi. Roshi means plural. Which Chodesh has a plural about it? Tishri. And yet it says Chodshechem, Chodshechem. In the singular, to teach me is only one set. There you have it. Even though it's two hats, one set. Zot Rashi. Shnei Roshim. What are the two Roshim? Rosh Chodesh, number one. Rosh Hashanah, number two. And nonetheless, the Karye Rachmona. And yet the Torah calls it Chod Shechem, quote unquote. Choser. How is it written? Without the yod. Choser ksiv. It is written lacking the yod. The Indian tkiyos with regards to the tkiyos. So what is the Torah therefore teaching me? Even though there's a double head, but there's something lacking. It's the singular. It'll only have one set of tkiyos. Fine. So either way you learn the drosha, but the bottom line of the drosha is very simple. That when you have two hats, how many tkiyos do you blow? One set. And therefore Rav Acha is finished. Tiyufta. Now, says the Gemara Va'oid. So let's make a start to this. I don't think we'll finish it, but let's try and make a start. Va'oid, says the Gemara, I'm now going to prove from another Braisa that Rav Acha is wrong. The truth is, we've already disproved Rav Acha. Game over. There's not much more we could do now. The Gemara didn't attempt in any way to try and defend Rav Acha, because there is no defense. I mean, it was as black or white as you get. The Gemara nonetheless says, boy, there's another brayta that disproves Rav Acha. What is it? V'oy tanya b'choy loy shel mayed. On Chol HaMoed. Now what I think we should do is, there's a lot of very, very long rashis over here. So I think what would be best is, let's try and learn the whole Gemara, and we'll see what the proof is. At least we get a picture clear, and we'll come back to the rashis in due course. V'choy loy shel mayed, on every day of Chol HaMoed, they sang Shira. They sang Shir, or Shir. The Levim and the Beis HaMikdash. But every single day was a different Shir. Which, by the way, is where it comes from, Minig Eretz Yisrael. And Chol HaMoed, every day you see a different Shir Shel Yoyin. It comes from the Vilna Goyim. In Chutz La'aretz, it wasn't that way. In Chutz La'aretz, even if you remember, what did we say on Chol HaMoed? Just the regular Shir Shalyayim, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The Minig Hagro, which is the widespread Minig in Eretz Yisrael, is to say the Shir that they did in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Torah clearly tells us over here that every day was a different parak in Tehillim.
So gives Mikey a chance to yell out.
Gives Mikey a chance to yell out, keeps the Gaboyim busy, gets people confused. No. In England, and I assume America, you'll tell me if I'm wrong, on Rosh Chodesh, we always said both. We always said Baruch Inafshi, and also Hayoyim Yoyim, whatever. When there is Yisrael, you just say Baruch Inafshi. You say both? This seems to be a different custom. Okay. Now, let's try and get to the end of this book. Vay Tanya. V'cholish Shomayed, V'rishay, on the first day of Chol HaMoed, Ma Hayu Omrim, they said, Hovu Lashem B'nei Elim. Now, what is the significance of each perek that Rashi discussed at great length?
So what we say now is not what they said
in the Beis HaMikdash.
Just on Chol HaMoed,
they
did it differently.
Right. So it's alright, they just say, it's Tuesday Chol HaMoed, they just say, okay, so on day one, they said, Hovu Lashem B'nei Elim. B'sheini ma hoyu oimrim, what do they say on day two? Ula Rosha Omar Elokim. B'shlishi ma hoyu oimrim, mi yakum li imrim. B'ravi ma hoyu oimrim, binu boyarim ba'om. B'chamishi ma hoyu oimrim, hasiroisi nisevo shifmai. B'shishi ma hoyu oimrim, yimoytu kol moiste oretz. Now, how many days Chol HaMoed of Sukkot are there? Six. One day Yom Tov, 6 day Chol HaMoed. So every single day has a different parak of Tehillim. What the meaning of each parak is and how it's relevant to Sukkot, that's why Rashi is so long over here. We'll see that next time. Okay. Says the Braisa in conclusion, Ve'im Chal Shabbos. Ve'echon mehem. If Shabbos would fall out on one of these 6 days, as opposed to what? As opposed to the first day Yom Tov. If it didn't fall out on Yom Tov, but rather it fell on one of the days of Chol HaMoed, so then you're in trouble. Why? Because on Shabbos, what is the Shir? Mizra Shir Yom HaShabbos. So then, Yemoitu Yitzchah. What was Yemoitu?
Last.
That was the last one. So Rashi explains that they never missed out. You always start from this Seder, day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. If Shabbos lands out in one of those days, so rather than missing out that day's Shir, it gets pushed off till tomorrow, which means that Yemoitu, which is the last one, that's the end of the Braisa. Now, Rav Saf, the truth is, everybody could already work out, we've already disproved Rav Acha. Why have we disproved Rav Acha? Because what do you mean to say that when Shabbos falls out during Chol HaMoed, everything gets pushed up? According to Rav Acha, when there's two korbanos, you have two shir and two tekiyot. So who cares if Shabbos is chal on one of the days? I'll do Shabbos and I'll do the other shir as well. So you might too will never have to get pushed off. What do I see from over here? Again, a disproof of a racha. Even though there's two korbanos, there's two hats, there's only one set of tekiyot and one shir. Therefore, if Shabbos falls out, I'm sorry, Yemoitu has to give way. Now, says the Gemara, Rav Sachra Manach Buhu Simon. Rav Sachra gave a simon. How do you remember all these 6 days of the Shir? What was his simon? Hey Vav Mem Beis Hey Yud Humbahi. What does Humbahi stand for? So the hey is Havu Lashem. The Vav is Ula Rosh HaOmah. The Mem is Miyakum, etc., etc., etc. Rav Papa Manach Buhu Simana Humhabi. So what did he switch? The base and the hay at the end. Why does he have a different simon? We'll see you next time. Rashi will discuss. The Simonech Amvuha Desifri.
Okay, we'll discuss the next time. There is a simon to work out how you remember what it is. Okay, but either way, Tiyuvta, Deravacha, Bachanina, Tiyuvta. Either way, Ravacha is yet again disproven. Why is he yet again disproven? Because you see that you only have one shear when Shabbos falls out on a particular day, and that's why everything has got to get pushed up. Now, as I said, there's a lot of long rashis, we have to see it. Now, we have to bear in mind the following. If you look briefly at the previous daf, have a look at that Nun Dalad Amud Aleph. Have you got where it says Rav Acha Bar Chanina? The star. About a third, towards the top. Have a look very, very briefly. Rav Acha Bar Chanina Midrayma Aisi Masnisa Biyada. He brought a bracelet in his hand. Ubnei Aaron Akkoyanim Yitku Bachatzaitzreis. She'ein Talmud Rema Yitku. Why does he have to say the word Yitku? Shekvar Nema. It has already told me V'takat Machatzaitzreis Halo Yisrech Mazibche Shalmechem. So why do you have to say the word Yitku again? Uma Talmud Loima Yitku Hakoil Lafi Hamusafin Toikin. You blow how many times? According to the number of Mustafin. Now, let's press pause. If Rav Acha would walk into the Beis HaMedrash one day and tell me a chiddush which was unfounded and not based on any pasuk, it's his own theory, so then I understand. I turn around and say, I'm very, very sorry, I have bad news for you. Nice theory, but I've got prices that learn from sukkim to the contrary, so your theory is not true. But Rav Acha didn't make it up. He came across it. We're in big trouble now. How can you ask a kasha and say, well, I've got one brisa that says Rosh Chodeshim, which says that even when Shabbos you only blow one set, and I've got another brisa about this whole business with regard to the shir? Okay, what do you want a poor old Rav Acha? All Rav Acha did was quote a brisa which quoted a pasuk. What do you want to do, argue a pasuk? Very, very difficult to understand. So that's going to be the Gemara's next question. We'll see that in Mishnah on Thursday. As I mentioned, there are some long rashis, very, very long rashis. We'll see them in Tashem next Thursday. And the plan is, very much, we want to get to the Mishnah on Thursday. For sure, I think if ever we needed to do Chazorah, this is the sugya we need to do Chazorah. So we're going to get to it on Thursday. It might even be a struggle to get there because there's so much Rashi, but a Mishnah, we're going to aim to get to the Mishnah, and then we will go back all the way to the Mishnah on Nun Gimel Amud Beis. It's almost two daf. I will do Chazara beginning Sunday and probably spilling over to Monday as well. And the next Thursday we will not be learning to be Purim Mishnah.
Chavrusa had a good question.
Well, he does.
Maybe a question. How can we discount Rav Acha? We've used him so many times to figure out how many times we blow the shofar.
That might be dependent on the next line of the Gemara.
Quite right. Good question.
We were using Rav Acha, making calculations and saying, oh, Rav Acha disproven, really? So let's start the whole story again then. That's what we think, doesn't it? Good shine. Okay, we'll see Mr. Shem next time. So pretty much we've got our work cut out again. Well, Thursday we'll try and finish the sugya. Sunday, Monday, Chazorah. Following Thursday is Purim. Thursday week. Which means that the week after we'll just have 2 weeks left of this month. And we have, I thought we would sail into the end, but it might be a little bit tight. We have staff and a half. So then we might have to do an extra day here or there. So we'll see if it's a session. But I very much want to finish by end of the morning.
Any thought to what we're learning next? The answer was no.